So I'm Doug Dawson. I'm the president of NC Broadband Matters. And today we're bringing what we think is a really interesting topic. We're talking to the three folks you see from NCBIO, and we want to talk about mapping, how the broadband maps could determine our broadband future. Anyone who's been paying any attention to the industry knows that there's just a monstrous amount of discussion about maps, both good, bad, ugly, and pretty. And so today, the three folks you see on the screen are going to tell us where the state of North Carolina is about it. We will have time at the end of this session for questions. So if you have questions, please type them into the chat or the Q&A you see down there. Actually, that'd be even better. And we will ask your questions in this group. Next slide, which is also the same as their first slide. This is who's online today. So we have Angie Bailey, the director of NCBIO. She will be introducing the other two folks, Stephanie Jane Edwards and Ben Shelton, who are going to tell us everything you've ever wanted to know about North Carolina broadband mapping today. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Angie. I'm going to go ahead and mute my picture, and I'll come back on when you all are done. So take it away, Angie.
Thank you, and thank you to NC Broadband Matters for having us today. And happy April to everyone. The year's going by quickly. So we've been talking with NC Broadband Matters about having this session, I think, since December. And what happens is that, you know, there's so many moving parts to all this with this new, the FCC's new broadband data collection process. So we wanted to make sure we had a good handle on where things are before we share with you all. So thanks for having us today. So as we kind of get started, I want to stress, we've got, you know, I think you all know we have the $1 billion in American Rescue Plan Act funding that we're working to push out in the office. We have the other BEAD funding that's coming down the pike that we expect to be just over $1 billion. And so what kind of mirrors, so that's an unprecedented amount of funding, obviously, for the state for broadband. What is also unprecedented is the fact that we now have granular location level data on a national scale for broadband availability. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. I do want to take just a minute or two to talk about the FCC and their kind of evolution of their data collection and broadband mapping, because I think it's really important for people to realize how kind of enormous this is of a task and a result that we're now seeing. So Ben, if you could, skip ahead. Okay, so I think y'all know, so the FCC started took over kind of broadband mapping in 2015 from the NTIA. They collected broadband availability data at the census block level. And so we kind of knew if there was a fully unserved census block, we knew it was generally fully unserved and the broadband providers would submit data on where their coverage was. The problem is the partially served blocks, we really didn't know. And I think everyone knows this, right? But we really didn't know within that partially served block, which locations had service, which ones didn't. So that's been the challenge for all these years. Since 2019, the FCC has been working on this new process. So all these years, they created the new digital opportunity data collection to collect more granular data. And then in 2020, Congress passed the Broadband Data Act. And so all this has been, all this momentum has been happening all these years to get us to where we are now. Next slide, please, Ben. So then in January of this past year, the FCC released more information on the broadband data collection process. And September 1st of this past year was the deadline for broadband providers to submit the first set of BDC data that's granular to the location level. On November 18th, the FCC released the new national broadband map that had this granular data, again, to the location level. And then on January 13th of this year is when the first availability challenges were due. So that's kind of the quick, short summation of that history. Next slide, please. And so what I want to stress before Stephanie, Jane, and Ben dig into this, and I'll introduce them in a second before they start. So what's very different now is that there's kind of two really important data sets, right? So there's something called the Broadband Serviceable Location Fabric, which is a set of all the locations that within the state and within the country that need broadband or where broadband service should be made available. So it's kind of akin to addresses, but it's really a geospatial data set. And then the other piece of it is the broadband availability data. So within this building, this building either does or doesn't have broadband available to it. So it's two separate pieces. The challenges are separate. There's challenges for fabric, challenges for availability data. So I just want to make sure people keep that in mind as we go through the presentation today. Next slide. And so how does this mapping fit into our programs? Just to spend a couple quick minutes on our programs. I think you all know that with our $1 billion in ARPA funds, we are still working to get that out through the Broadband Infrastructure Office. Our Great Grant Program, we have started sending out our first set of contracts for those projects, and we expect to send more out this week and next week, and basically have the contingent awards contracted. We had to hold on that a bit for some clarifications from U.S. Treasury, so I won't go into all that right in this session, but that's kind of what we've been waiting on. Treasury, just in the past week or so, has shared some draft language for their additional guidance. So that's moving forward. Can we go, and then the, sorry, I'm trying to figure out how much to cover because I know you all want to get to mapping. The Completing Access to Broadband Program, Stopgap, and Broadband Pole Replacement, we're still working on. Next slide, please. And so our Great Grant Program, just to kind of throw out some complexities, when this application round was launched, it was using the FCC's Form 477 data as our kind of eligible areas map. And these contingent awards are mapped against our address in C file, which is our 911 addressing data set for the state. So what we have to figure out is how to kind of crosswalk our address in C data points between this new, the FCC's new fabric of locations. And so that's a complexity that we in North Carolina, we're very grateful to have an address data set, but we also have to figure out how to crosswalk between the two. So that's something that we are tackling. Next slide. And then the CAB program, I know folks are waiting on that. Just to touch on that, we are working to release, it's gonna be in two phases. So one phase will be a vetting of broadband providers to be able to participate in CAB. That should be coming out this month. And then the individual scopes of work for individual counties. And so what I wanted to kind of stress, since this is a mapping session, is that our great grants are going out using this address and C data. I think that by the time we get to CAB, we will be kind of switching gears to this new BDC data, which I think is very helpful and works out well. So we do have a CAB planning map online, but we will be still updating that to get the most current BDC data that we can. Next slide. Okay, and so that's, so we're dealing with kind of pushing out our ARPA programs. We're also preparing for BEAD, which is the Broadband Equity Access and Deployment Program that's coming down from the NTIA. And so just quickly on BEAD, we do have a set of listening tours coming up in April and May at 8 locations across the state, and we can share that press release and information on that in the chat. Just a short version of BEAD is that this in June, we will get from the NTIA the allocation information on how much funding we will receive in North Carolina. It is formula-based, and the challenges that we sent to date to the FCC will impact us getting a larger allocation, we believe. Our BEAD plan, which we're having written, we've contracted with NC State's Friday Institute for Educational Innovation. And that plan is being written right now, will be publicly posted in June and submitted to the NTIA in July. And then the actual BEAD programs won't be deployed until at least 2024. So we do have some time on mapping for BEAD. The NTIA will be releasing its state challenge process, which is essentially more detail on mapping and challenge processes around BEAD specifically. So that should be coming out in the next month or so. The other piece I just want to stress, and I'll turn this over, is that because this is really important. So the current FCC data determines, shows certain types of availability at individual locations. But we as a state can also offer our policy lens for these programs to say, hey, we know this what the FCC data says, and we've taken this policy lens, and this is our eligible areas map. So we do believe there's room for that. The NTIA says there's room for that. Once we get the state challenge process guidance from the NTIA, we can kind of refine that. But I just wanted to stress that we believe there's still some room for interpretation from the states, which obviously we think is important. So that's kind of setting the stage on mapping. I do want to give a huge thanks to Stephanie Jane Edwards, who's our broadband data and mapping lead in the broadband infrastructure office. She's amazing. She's been doing broadband mapping work for over a decade. Ben Shelton, who is the GIS project manager for the Center for Geographic Information and Analysis at DIT, one of our sister offices, and he has been amazing in this process as well. And I will turn this over to Stephanie Jane first.
Thank you, Angie. And I'm really fortunate to be here and be a part of this. Thanks for joining the webinar. I wanted to talk a little bit about the new FCC data and the new FCC map that's come out, which Angie mentioned, kind of gave you sort of the backstory on that. We've got a link to it here, and we're going to be sharing these slides. So you'll have this link and you can look at it. I know many of you have, but just to give you an idea, you start out, you search an address in their interface, and you can see a list of reported broadband availability by location. And if you want to switch to the next slide real quick, then we've got a screen capture here. Let me back up a little bit. The effect that this has, if you see these kind of blue hexagons, they're actually hexagons when you zoom in. This is just a generalized way of capturing that address level data. And so first, I wanted to show you a couple maps, if we want to look at that next slide, Ben, to show you the difference that is making. Because if you compare it to this map right here, which was based on that census block data from the 477 FCC program, it's underwhelming, right, in the way that it captures unserved and underserved homes and businesses. And you can see there's totals listed there and the legend about what we were able to capture only using areas where the entire census block didn't have any service reported qualifying as broadband. If you switch to the next slide for comparison, you will be able to see so much more of the unserved and underserved homes and businesses there. And you see it; those totals go up considerably. So this is just a sheer reflection of that granularity change and how we're able to capture smaller pockets of individual unserved homes and business locations that are dots on the map. Now, the data is still has lots of room for improvement. If you have concerns about the maps as they stand today, they are justified. It's a really big leap forward, but it's an opportunity given that there are still imperfections and lots of flaws that need addressing, both in terms of the address data and the broadband availability data reported at those addresses. This gives us an opportunity that we've never had before statewide to have a conversation address by address where we are seeing incorrect data and when we are all agreeing that there's a gap that we want to address. So if you go to the next slide, there's a screen capture here of once you log into the FCC map and you search a location. This is an address in Randolph County, and I just wanted some of the people who may have already seen the map, you may not have noticed that you can also view challenged locations in the map. So on the right-hand side, you've probably seen the address and some listed broadband service. And if you go, however, on the left-hand side of the map and you see that little button that's like a stack of layers, click on that and you'll be able to turn those checkboxes on and off so that you see on top of these green dots that are reported to be served locations and the red circles that indicate unserved locations, you'll have some bigger spots of color that tell you more about where someone has challenged either the address or the availability data reported for that address. And that legend will be spelled out there on the interface. So this goes for individual challenges. And I was a person who made an individual challenge where you see those blue spots, but also bulk challenges that our state broadband office worked to make on behalf of the state. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that. If we go to the next slide, we've got kind of a summary of what those availability challenges looked like. So on behalf of the state, we primarily focused an analysis using all of our best resources, right, on areas that were only being considered served because of some data, some service reported at either fixed wireless or DSL, because we were seeing in our data that the most vulnerable locations most likely to be unserved, despite what the data was saying, were those that only had a fixed wireless or a DSL connection reported to them. So we wanted to double check that. And we partnered with the Friday Institute at NC State to use web scraping technology to basically run through large lists of locations meeting that description, right? Only considered served because of one or another technology type reported there. And we checked them against the internet provider's own websites, and we use scripts to do that in an automated way. That's all web scraping means. And so we submitted just over 43,000 formal bulk challenge locations on behalf of the state to the FCC. And we did it by a kind of working deadline that we were given of January 13th. So it didn't give us a lot of time from when we got access to all the information to when we had to submit these and make sure that there'd be time to process them on the federal end of it. But we feel pretty good about that. And we also submitted almost 2,000 locations as input and suggestions for correcting the map in the crowdsourced data category from our broadband survey. So if you've ever filled out our broadband NC broadband survey about connectivity issues at your home or business, that this is one of the ways that we utilize that data. And right now we are making some updates to our survey to make it even more conducive to utilizing that input to submit challenges to the FCC data on people's behalf. So as it stands right now, and this is a moving, ongoing process, 60% of our 43,000 formal challenges have been upheld. That means that they're going to stick. They've been reviewed by the FCC, then shared with the internet service provider companies. And then were either acknowledged or what we call conceded by the ISP or further reviewed by the FCC. And the important thing to know about this particular moment in time is that this set of challenges is going to affect the calculations that determine the amount of money that North Carolina receives out of the nationwide bucket of BEAD funds. So that's important. And then as we go further, we're going to be sort of developing a little bit more robust methods and scaling up to do some further challenges. And there'll be probably some push and pull as providers report updates to their network as well. So something that we found to be incorrectly reported as unserved may be correct in another 6 months, but we'll just be continuing that dialogue. So we're having meetings with the internet service providers and with the NTIA and FCC, all kind of working towards getting closer and closer to being on the same page, and most importantly, having our data more and more accurate. Next slide, if you wouldn't mind. This is just a quick snapshot showing you where those 43,000 challenged locations were across the state. And those fuchsia dots are the challenges we made to fixed wireless coverage that was reported by, we challenged nationwide mobile carriers who were reporting fixed wireless, because that's kind of the sort of a category of technology type that isn't fitting as cleanly into the BDC system as traditional fixed wireless. And so we're running into issues where locations that are reported as served with fixed wireless are more likely to not actually be served due to capacity issues of 5G nodes as they're deployed. So that's why you'll see a lot of that, those dots. The blue dots are where we challenge reported DSL service. And we want to keep a close eye on that, particularly as we're moving forward and DSL is not as scalable into the future to the speeds and performance metrics that we'll be looking at. So that'll be an ongoing process. And then Ben's going to talk a little bit about the methods that we use to challenge the fabric data, or that layer of address locations that we mentioned before.
All right. Thanks, Stephanie Jane. And as it was mentioned before, my name is Ben Shelton. I am the project manager for a few different projects with the Center for Geographic Information Analysis. I have the great opportunity to work with Angie's office on a lot of this mapping efforts. So what we were charged with, you know, there's, like Angie mentioned, there were two kind of tracks. There's availability challenges where you can challenge what's being reported by the internet providers themselves. But there's also challenges of the fabric itself. So if there's things missing from the map, we want to make sure the data that is being used to report service by the providers is as accurate as possible. Here in North Carolina, we feel very lucky. I guess luck doesn't have a lot to do with it. It's just a lot of hard work that has gone into a lot of these framework data sets that we're able to leverage to challenge the FCC's data. So we have, as Angie had mentioned, data coming straight from the NextGen 911 system in terms of addresses that the county and local addressing providers are funneling up into that NextGen system. We are able to extract that information and roll it into a project called AddressNC. And AddressNC is managed by a colleague of mine in CGIA. And what it's doing is it's standardizing and aggregating all the addresses across the state and trying to make it as good a data set as possible, because it, you know, it serves as a foundation for so many different efforts, not just the broadband work. But we also have, for years, have been aggregating through a data transformer all the parcels as well from all the county and local data authorities that manage their parcel data. So we aggregate all of that information into a statewide data set. We have a building footprint data set that's coming from emergency management that is used for kind of hurricane disaster recoveries and things like that. So that's been funded since 2010. And we have our statewide ortho imagery program, which I'm also the project manager of, so I'm quite fond of that project. So we collect a quarter of the state every year, and it's funded by the North Carolina 911 Board to update imagery across the state that's used in, you know, emergency response and dispatch. So with all of those great data sets, what we're able to do is kind of intersect all of those and identify anything that's missing off of that FCC map. And here's one example of a neighborhood where there's some new construction, and you'll see the red dots on this map are potential fabric challenge locations that we identified using all of those different data sets. Looking at improved values and building footprints and things like that really make a big difference, because the FCC challenge guidelines say that a point must be located in a building footprint to be an eligible challenge location into their map. And there's about 9 different categories of fabric challenges that we can make. The number one being category one, it's the missing location. So a location like these homes in this example are just not on the map at all. And so a provider can't report service if that location is not highlighted on the map. So we want to make sure everybody's represented as accurately as possible on the FCC data. So using that methodology, we kind of took a test case, a test group of locations that we identified using that process of intersecting those statewide data sources. And we took 5,700 locations. And those were locations that were in previously unserved census blocks in that last version of the Form 477 data. And that gave us a good test case to run through the process, see how the FCC is accepting and validating the data, and how the uploads and the documentation required are all need to be formatted. And then using this 5,700 locations, we went through and a small team of people went through and visually validated each one of them to make sure that we are getting as accurate as information as possible to submit to the FCC. And out of that 5,700, there were 528 locations that we submitted in our first challenge last month. And out of those 528 missing locations, many of them were multi-unit dwellings, apartment complexes and condos and things like that. So in the units field of those 528 missing locations, it actually totals 2,500 units. So out of the 5,700, the way Address NC manages multi-unit is there's one point on the map for every address. Well, the FCC's data is one point with the units field highlighting how many. So that's why there's the difference there. And so it's really given us a lot of insight in the process that needs to be undertaken to identify these locations. And then, we're looking at scaling the process up. Just quickly analyzing the statewide data sets, we highlighted over 150,000 address points in Address NC that we feel need a second look and a validation routine to then determine if they're valid challenges and submitting them to the FCC in future challenge rounds. So that's where our fabric challenges stand at this point. And then, as we're challenging the FCC data, we're also trying to look at how do we best map and analyze the data and create data products and tools that will help with project planning, that will help with all of these different programs that are being rolled out with this funding. And so what we've done is we've come up with this hexagon-based aggregation method. So we are able to take all of the locations in the FCC availability data, looking at all of those that are listed as unserved, and then aggregating them into these hex bins. And so a little information about this map is it's called a bivariate map. It's taking two variables and it's symbolizing them to show the concentrations of unserved across the state. If you're looking at this map and you see the pink areas, the lighter pink areas, those are hexagons that have a count of unserved locations within them, but not a very high percentage. So there may be a lot of served areas or served locations within that same hex bin, but there are some unserved being represented on this map. If you look at the bluer areas, like along the coast, those are high percentages. So that might not be a very high count. It could be a few homes, but it's all of the homes in that bin that are unserved. So you'll see that those blue areas represent kind of a higher percentage of unserved locations. And then you have the intersection of those two variables. You have where there's a high count and a high percentage that turns that hex bin to those darker purples. So quickly you can kind of start to see where the concentrations of higher density unserved locations are located. And we've done this at a couple of different scales of hex bins. So as you drill down into the maps, they'll get a little bit more granular and show you a little bit more specific aggregations. So here's an example of one of our county profile maps. These are being made available through NC OneMap, and Stephanie Jane will get a little bit more into the details on our page on NC OneMap. Some of you may be familiar with. We're providing these as downloadable products, but we're also putting them into streaming online maps and services. But here's an example of one of the county profiles for Sampson County. And as you can see, with the more granular hex bin details, you can see where all those unserved locations are, the concentrations of them. You can also see the overlays of the different federal funding programs, like the Rural Digital Opportunity Fund or USDA Reconnect grants, things like that. Those are the cross-hatching in this map. And then you also have the state GREAT grants and the federally funded GREAT grants in the green showing on this map. So really quickly, you can see where the funding has been allocated, where the funding has not. So for example, in the northwest of Sampson, you see that big pocket of hexagons up there that have quite a bit of unserved concentration, but are not represented in any of the funding programs. And then you can also see some of the survey responses within the last year that kind of highlight possibly where some of the challenges need to be focusing in the FCC data going forward. So if those are people responding that they do not have service, but they're not represented in that FCC data as we aggregate it, then that kind of highlights areas that we need to pay a little bit more closer attention to. So we do this at a county by county to start to identify some of those unserved locations that have not been addressed by any funding sources. Here's just a quick example of another county, Polk County. And you know, as you can see, county by county, those hex bins can really vary. And there's quite a bit of concentration, but there's also quite a bit of funding in Polk County. So you can see there's still a lot of work to be done, but there's a lot of work being put out there and a lot of funding that's going towards Polk County. And I just want to highlight at the bottom here is the address for NC OneMap and our broadband page. And then this little interface that's showing here, you can select any one of the counties, any 100 counties, and download a profile map. And as we get newer data, as Angie mentioned, as we define what eligible locations look like for these various programs, our hope is to keep these county broadband profiles, evolving as the data behind them evolves. And as the challenge data gets accepted and incorporated into the maps, then we will be reproducing these maps at certain intervals to make sure that we're providing the latest data possible. And then there's a few different things that we're trying to look at with the FCC data. And using that hex bin aggregation method again, just symbolized a little differently, we're looking at different technology deployments across the state as being reported in the new FCC BDC. So with that, we're looking at fiber in this map. So these are all hex bins and the percentage served in each hex bin based on fiber technology as reported in the new FCC data as of June 30th. And as the new data comes out for the next release, we'll try to keep these updated to see as the data gets challenged and challenges are upheld and data gets changed, how these maps can reflect that change. So here you can see the fiber across the state and where it's concentrated. We've also done the four major technology types that are being submitted. So this is where cable is located in the hex bins and the percentage served. And then we also have copper, DSL. And then fixed wireless. As you can see, fixed wireless is pretty much reported in most populated areas across the state, at least for licensed fixed wireless. And then I think Stephanie Jane's going to talk about a little bit more of the focused applications on NC OneMap.
Yeah, thanks so much, Ben. Ben's been awesome with developing maps and data that we're hoping will equip advocates in local communities and everywhere across the state on getting a bird's eye view of what's going on and maybe catching things by being boots on the ground and noticing what's missing in the data. I wanted to share kind of a little bit about how we're branching out from the FCC has this new BDC data, which is awesome. And it's it's going to do a better job of not leaving out rural communities as badly as the census block data was notorious for. And that's a great foundation. And when then we start from there, and then we layer on additional data sets to try to triangulate the best possible truth of the situation. And then we're hoping to use that data not in a vacuum, but apply it to what is meaningful to the communities across the state. And we're making some mapping tools like this one on the slide is about affordability. ACP, if you're not familiar with it, is the Affordable Connectivity Program. It's like a White House administration broadband subsidy program for qualifying low-income households to receive a one-time kind of discount coupon for the purchase of a device and $30 off of their monthly broadband bill from participating providers. And there are so many participating internet service providers across the state, which you can see in this map kind of shaded in is that extra level of participation where there's in some cases service that is free after the discount because there's already like an economic tier of service that's already $30 or less before the discount. So we're putting together some maps like this so that we can track metrics and goals towards addressing things like affordability, maybe devices and outreach. We're also putting together topical maps around the context of communities, like particularly in rural communities. Agriculture is a significant sector of the economy and of community fabric. On the next slide, we have sort of a snapshot of an early version we put up of a dashboard to capture some locations of where migrant agricultural workers are located by county in the state. And we're kind of working with the North Carolina Agricultural Digital Alliance to flesh this out a bit more, broaden the scope to various things that impact community health and quality of life metrics and all of the things that need to be accessed based on broadband in an agricultural context. And we're building sets of data and maps around other topics as well, like in rural communities in particular, telehealth capabilities are critical to consult with specialists remotely or to have remote monitoring. And this kind of benefits prevents having to return to an emergency department in a small healthcare system. So also electronic medical records, those kinds of things. So we're putting together some reference maps that can help conversations around healthcare and telehealth and education purposes of broadband, and also in tracking connectivity to and through community anchor institutions. If you want to go to the next slide, Ben, I just wanted to share, like you mentioned before, that NC OneMap is serving as our kind of one-stop shop for all of these mapping resources. And a number of things that we've mentioned today are coming online soon, and you're going to see a lot of updates and changes. Here is the link on this slide where you can see that map where all those little green dots represent funded locations through our GREAT grant program. You'll see more awards being announced on that, and this map will get updated. You'll see that county profile download space where you can get a just grab and go PDF map of the county profiles to get a snapshot of broadband scenarios in your county. And you'll also see the hexagon layer that Ben explained earlier in some of our maps, along with other layers that can hopefully give you a more and more holistic view of the situation in as close to real time as possible. And we do want to hear from you if there's anything you're looking for that you're not seeing, or if you have questions when you're on NC One Maps broadband page about the content there. You'll also see our a map that's updated nightly of our broadband survey responses. And there's soon going to be a digital equity survey being developed. And that's in the works. We're not sure what it's going to look like in the way of mapping, but stay tuned on all of those things. If you want to go to the next slide, I just wanted to highlight super quickly some of the key metrics that we're working on, because as we're looking to leverage these maps for the future, the rural broadband future in North Carolina, we are thinking about all the different ways that it's best for us to get a kind of capture of the before image, right? We're heading into this very intense chapter of the next few years. We're kind of already in it to an extent, but we have these five-year plans that are coming together, and we want to be able to think of all the different ways to measure the impact of our work, to be really good stewards of every dollar that we're receiving, to implement solutions, to locate the areas where this is needed most. By the way, in our statistics so far, it's no coincidence that the top 10 most underserved counties by percent were all rural counties. Okay. And you'll see a lot of our data is geared towards underserved and unserved locations. So we feel like we're able to more precisely have conversations about how to address these things in pockets that were previously not captured very well in our rural communities. But we, as I think Ben and Angie have already hinted at this, we have some leverage to really think carefully about our policy and in the state challenge process, utilize a more custom fit or realistic definition of served for the purposes of allocating our resources. So, there'll be more on that later once we can confirm this with the official guidance documents that are out. And we're going to be evaluating our grant programs, tracking where the dollars went and what was accomplished with them. And everybody who's participating in these programs is accountable to reporting and that kind of thing. So it's a very fascinating process. And I feel really good about doing the work to find metrics so we can see who we're impacting, what barriers we're addressing, where we're doing that the best, and where gaps may still remain that we can address in the programs that we're standing up further down the path. I already mentioned the affordability related ACP outreach dashboard. We're using these kind of tools to strategize where to spend our finite outreach capacity. These other context maps, they're going to have metrics that come along with those, right? So we're trying to figure out what units and what measurements are meaningful in terms of healthcare and education and agriculture. And we're trying to get a snapshot of where we are today and keep track of how that is moving going forward, because we're already moving the needle. I'm really excited to see that, but we are really trying to peg this thing, you know? I mean, really see a lot of impact and maximize that. You may have heard the FCC maps are not great at including the anchor institutions, CAI's community anchor institutions. In fact, it feels almost at times like resources were used to go out of the way to exclude the broadband access reported for those locations. So we're looking to do what we can to work around that and capture a statewide data set on what's available to those anchor institutions for the work that they're doing and what's available through those anchor institutions to their surrounding homes and businesses. So you'll be seeing, again, a lot of information related to these things in our NC OneMap broadband page, and you can reach out to us. If you go to the next slide, there are some pieces that we are still needing from our federal partners, and just thought you should be aware, because sometimes the timing on these things can seem really protracted and then rushed all of a sudden. And there's a lot of factors that go into that, but also we're being really diligent about making sure that our strategies are in line with what's going to be successful given these federal frameworks. So I'm not going to go over everything in the slide, but there's some critical data sets that we can add to our maps and use. Like, there's going to be an official high cost areas map that we need to go by, that's going to be provided by federal agencies. The FCC has been mentioning hosting that data. We need some clarification around, guidance and timelines and the federally funded areas that Ben mentioned in our county profile maps. Those funded areas are protected for a window of time from receiving additional funds. So we have to think about it like that and not double fund an area before it's known whether the unserved areas were addressed. So we'll be looking into that and doing some more work around agreements and uses of that address layer that we call the BSL fabric, because that's actually like a proprietary data set. Next slide. This is just something to leave you with. This is our last slide other than our contact information. And Angie and Ben, feel free to jump in on this, but there are a lot of things that broadband advocates can do, whether your role is in a local mapping office. You can work with those data sets that roll up that are super valuable to our challenge process and to many different purposes in the state. Anyone can help get the word out about what's going on with broadband, especially in an area that you're familiar with. You can let people know about our broadband survey and how that helps us to capture and really make visible pockets of people who are unserved that may not be reflected correctly in the federal map. And we want to know about that. You can make individual challenges to the FCC map using that link that's earlier in our slide deck. Sometimes that has been confusing, the different options for challenges. So we're also doing analysis to make changes at the state level. And if you have questions, you can reach out to us. We're also really trying to get the word out about the ACP program, and we're working on tracking metrics like pricing and trying to get a handle on affordability with or without subsidy programs that may or may not continue on very far into the future. And the CAB program that Angie described, we really welcome your participation in that and your input. We're going to have county level discussion maps, and so you may see some things that you feel are relevant in a given county. We hope that you can help us advocate for participation among the internet service providers and counties across our state who are eligible to participate. And we'll do everything we can to facilitate that on our end. And then we hope that you'll make use of the mapping tools that we've got. Give us feedback on those, and probably putting them to good use for your work is the best way to come up with ideas on how we can improve them. But we are going to be inventorying a great deal of information. It's a whole lot that we could potentially do. Everything from public Wi-Fi access to vulnerable populations and distribution of devices, all these activities, in addition to where the infrastructure actually is to provide access, are relevant. So just I think we would love to keep this conversation going with you. And we have a general broadband mapping email that you can send comments and questions to. You also are welcome to email us individually, but that one goes to several people at once. Coming up really soon on the NC OneMap page, there's going to be a sign up where you can to receive email newsletters from our office. And we're looking potentially to have some virtual office hours where people can ask their questions related to certain topics and programs as they're coming online. So we've got our contact information here, and we're happy to hear from you. Excited to be a part of your group today. I love this group. Send us your questions.
Well, let's start with my questions. And let's start with question. First off, that was a wonderful presentation. Thank you all very much. It answered a whole lot of questions for me. I'm going to start with a few questions from the audience here, and then I've got some more. Any idea, when you said that you've done all those challenges, any idea how much extra money that might bring into North Carolina from the challenges we've done?
I think, Angie and Ben, jump in, but it's sort of a moving number. It's difficult to say a set number because part of it depends on how many and successful challenges are done in other states, right?
Yep.
But it does seem to be a general consensus that for every successful challenge that changes a location from served in some way to unserved, it has a value of at least several thousand dollars. And so I know that's a very non-specific answer, but it has to be because of there's so many other variables to the equation.
Very good. Thank you. I've heard that number also. Yeah. Is any of the detailed data going to be available to folks at the county level who are doing their own challenging? Can they actually get into your detail of the various lists and all that sort of thing? Because a lot of them are doing their own mapping. And so how do they make that work?
I think I saw the question in the chat too. So yeah. One of our challenges that we're trying to sort through is with the CostQuest, with Fabric being owned by CostQuest, there's certain restrictions on use. And that's what we are trying to think through. The CostQuest Fabric is used for, the current FCC map, and it's going to be used for BEAD is our understanding. So we're still trying to think through use of address and C where we wouldn't be restricted versus use of the Fabric, crosswalking between the two. And what does that look like for us? We don't want to have restrictions either. So I think I'd just say we'll keep you posted. We want it to be as usable as possible.
That makes sense. I want to follow up on something you said right at the beginning, Angie. You said that you were hoping the state had some latitude. Can you talk more about that? Are you talking about you think you'll be able to use information that are on your maps that are not in the FCC maps?
Well, I think it's the policy lens, right? So I think the numbers that Stephanie Jane showed on one of the maps about the number of unserved locations based on the current FCC map, that's taking the data directly. So the question would be, if there is an area where we feel like that's still incorrect, or a technology that we feel like they're interpreting differently than we would, then I think we would still plan to post what we see as the eligible areas as an office, as a state, as opposed to pulling directly from the FCC.
And you would use your own maps for awarding grants then?
For the programs, yes.
Excellent.
It does
Excellent.
Have to be run through the NTIA, but we feel like we can make the case when we need to.
Very good. This is not something you covered today, but I live in Western North Carolina, and I hear all the time about how bad the cellular coverage is. And I know you're focused on BEADS, but are you doing anything to do sort of the same gathering and challenging on the cellular coverage out here? Because the maps seem to be pretty far off. So
we are not specifically. I think it's really important. I think we have not gotten to that, although there is this kind of interesting convergence now between mobile and fixed wireless F2 homes from cellular providers. So the space is kind of converging in a way that it hasn't in the past. So we are looking at that. We would like to take on mobile coverage in a broader sense because everybody needs access for their phones. But we just have to see when we can fold that in more.
And there's another question about timing of the challenges. I know that they're ongoing. It sounds like you're doing them all the time. Do you know when's your best guess when we finally have to be done that process, when there won't be any more?
Ben or Stephanie, Jane, do y'all want to?
I can jump in. So there's the broadband fabric challenges and the availability challenges, and each kind of run on like a 6-month cycle, but the key dates for each are staggered and not the same. So they can start to confuse people and run all together. Even we get tripped up a lot starting to look at these dates, but those will be ongoing. Technically, the windows do not close for the FCC receiving challenges, but on the availability challenges, there will be cutoff dates where you're starting to wait for the next cycle to start because there's already new, fresh data being reported that may already reflect what you would be challenging. That's submitted every March and September. But the as of dates, you know, are June and December. Then when you have the fabric data sets challenges, there have been milestone dates that you may have heard that relate to how long there's the ability for the FCC to process and investigate, or it's really CostQuest, right? They're kind of taking charge on the fabric and location challenges. They need lead time to make a determination on those before producing and sending out a snapshot of the fabric that the providers then have to use to report their next set of availability data. And so that's why they're kind of linked together. We're also hearing there's a statute that requires the fabric or location challenges that those still will be ongoing, but the fabric and locations themselves that will be required to use a static snapshot of those down the road during some key point where we're in our state challenge process. I think it's for the purposes of gauging progress on the 5-year plan, but it doesn't sound ideal. So we're awaiting further clarification and we're advocating for the timing that could work best if the statute can't be changed outright.
Thanks. Go ahead.
I just wanted to add, so basically, I mean, we plan to keep challenging availability and fabric as long as possible. I mean, you know, forever, not really forever, but we, you know, to us, this is a marathon, not a sprint. And we want to make sure the state has accurate data, you know, for the foreseeable future.
Just so you know, Ben said forever. I just want
forever.
Yes. So, you had mentioned several times here, about the state challenge. Can you describe what you never really said what that is? What is that state challenge?
That is a process that the NTIA is developing for the BEAD program specifically. And so they call it the state challenge process. And so it basically, they haven't released their guidance yet on it specifically. It will come out in, we think, April or May. And it will basically tell us how they expect the states to publish their eligibility maps for BEAD, the BEAD programs, including the fabric, use of the fabric, and how we will receive challenges for BEAD. So we're kind of that's okay. The term. We're waiting on more information.
We're running out of time here, but if you could take one last question here. It was a great question on upload speeds. Upload speeds are the hardest thing here because there's an awful lot of folks, even in cities, that don't have the required upload speeds. I mean, how are you addressing that on these maps? Are you looking at, are these maps mostly download maps or are they a combination or?
Ben, do you want to speak?
They're combining the upload and download speed being reported as the advertised speed. And that's kind of the policy lens that Angie's mentioned in the past for great grant rounds. Things we've defined eligible areas in certain criteria differently. So I think as the programs get defined, that might change. But the maps as they are, we're using the FCC's definition of unserved, which is 25 and 3 upload. So the upload is being factored in. I think the question is also about increasing that upload threshold above 3. And Angie, correct me if I'm wrong, in there a scalability requirement for some of these funds?
Well, yeah. So underserved, we're defining as 100 down, 20 up. And then the providers have to build to certain speeds depending on the program. So yeah, we're definitely focused on that as well.
So if you're seeing someone who's only got 15 up, they are being shown as underserved?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, that's very interesting to know. Well, we've hit our time limit here. And, you know, as these folks mentioned, you can ask more questions of them at their website. There's all sorts of ways to get your questions answered. There's a couple more good ones in the writing area here. But we appreciate your time, and we know you're busy, so we're not going to keep up eating up your day. So we appreciate you being here today. I don't know about anyone else, but I found this to be extremely useful. So I think I'm going to be hanging up and looking at your maps.
Well, thank you all so much.
Yeah, thanks, everybody, for all the work that you're doing. We really appreciate it.
All righty. Thank you all. And just one last thing. We had talked before about you coming on to talk about a CABS webinar with us. Is that still in the planning? Because we'd like to do that. Yeah,
we would be happy to come and give some more programmatic updates. Yes.
Very good. We'll get back to you on that. So.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.